Welcome to the Men of Eight Gang podcast for Saturday, February 28th, 2009. This is Steve Borsch, and the gang is kind of off today because Graham Thickens went down to Sierra Bravo's overnight website challenge, which is 10 teams of volunteer web pros creating websites for free for 10 nonprofits. It's a 24-hour adventure, and Graham went down and captured some interviews.
Okay, this is Graham Thickens. I'm here on Saturday, February 28th at the opening of the exciting overnight website challenge put on by our friends at Sierra Bravo in Bloomington. And there are tons of people here. The scene in the room where the developers are setting up is amazing. I shot a couple pics, but I'm standing here now with Stephanie Jones of Visi.com, a sponsor of the event. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm very well, thank you.
Tell us again what you do at Visi.
I'm the marketing and public relations coordinator, so I kind of do in-house graphic design, write some press releases, anything I need to do.
Very good. And I understand that Visi was a sponsor at last year's inaugural overnight website challenge.
Yeah, it was very exciting to be a part of something that had never been done before last year. And believe me, I was here for a really good chunk of it last year, all through the night taking pictures, taking video of chair races at 3 a.m., which is always a safe bet. So we're just so excited to be back again this year. This is an event that we really believe in that should happen. We think it's very cool that people are willing to give up more than a day of their time just to crank out these websites for these very deserving nonprofits.
So did you drink a lot of Red Bull last year, staying up all night, or what?
I've never actually drank Red Bull.
Well, coffee.
Yeah, there's a lot of coffee. There were actually four or five people. I polled the audience last year at the end of it. There were four or five people that never had any caffeine the entire event. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, that is amazing. But they have all kinds of other good stuff here for the folks, I see.
Yeah, we've got Peace Coffee here. We've got Red Bull. We're going to have plenty of food throughout the day.
Did I see that Chipotle is doing lunch or something, too? Or?
I think Chipotle is doing lunch. Buffalo Wild Wings is providing a meal again. And last year we had some, like, 1,000, 1,500 wings, which is just sounds ridiculous.
And Umbria Pizza, is that the other one that's here?
They're doing a midnight snack.
Okay.
And I'm really excited because I want them to bring their mac and cheese pizza.
What's that?
Mac and cheese on pizza?
No kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've never ever heard of such a thing.
Talk to Erica Mauder about it. She is the evangelist.
Pretty funny. So who else is here from Visi today? Anyone?
We actually, our in-house Visi developers are on a team this year, the Code Cowboys.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, okay. So they're going to be setting up in there, and we don't have anything to do with the judging, so we're not rigging it.
Right.
I can say
right.
That out loud.
Oh, Stephanie just got a real badge. That's cool. Well, great. Well, hey, thanks for talking to us at Men of Eight, I'll get back to work here and try to find some other folks. Have a great day.
You too, Graham.
I'm with Kurt Prinz right now. Kurt, tell us what you do.
Well, I am the chair of the board of District 202. We're a GLBTU center, and about 4 weeks ago, I was cleaning through one of my to-do piles and I saw the notice or the overnight web challenge. I'm like, ugh. So in a matter of 3 days, we filled out the application, we did all the requirements, and then a week later, we were accepted. And it caused a shift in our organization. For a long time, 202 has been around for about 16 years.
Almost everybody's here.
Oh, we're being interrupted here. Hold on. I'm here with Jamie Thingelstadt. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Jamie is a renowned developer in our town, as I'm sure most of you know, having been with what became Dow Jones digital operations in the Twin Cities for many years and just recently left what?
Not so recently, almost a year ago.
Oh, yeah, it's been, wow, time flies.
9 months.
9 months. But anyway, Jamie is here shooting pics with his great camera.
Canon that 40D.
It has the hugest lens on it I think I've ever seen. I'd like this for surfing shots, you know. Tell us what it is, Jamie.
I'm shooting today with a Canon 40D using a 70 to 200 L-series image stabilized glass. And then just a 580X speed light to add a little light.
Wow, it's got a flash attachment on
the
it.
Gary
that's
Fong
very cool
dome.
Too.
It's wow. The Gary Fong, and I learned about this through a professional photographer that I took a class from. It's amazing. Makes all your pictures look great.
Jamie is becoming an amazing photographer, and I know he's been traveling a lot in the last year or two, and he probably has tons of great stuff, what, up on Flickr? Or?
Yeah, my Flickr profile is, username is Thingles, T-H-I-N-G-L-E-S, and I put some of them on my blog as well, thinglesed.com.
And we would see a lot of your travel photography
yep.
up there, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So tell me the story again about how you happened to get involved in this. I know you know Dan Grigsby, one of the judges.
Yeah, I saw that he had announced that he was judging this year. And I'd heard about the event last year. I had not attended. And I've been looking for some things where I could go and shoot some photos and do some interesting photography. And I thought this would be a good event. So. Here this morning, and I'll be back again tonight when everybody's dreary and sleepy, and get some interesting shots of people then, and then also when the winners are announced.
Yeah, so you were saying it's a great venue to shoot people, and you don't often get a chance to have this many people in one place.
Or? Yeah, like I said, most people don't react kindly if you take a camera and shove it in their face and take a picture of them. Here you get kind of free will to shoot wherever, whenever you want. And it's nice. It's a nice big room. I got all 12 teams in one room. Everybody's tight together. It's a mess. All sorts of fun things to see and details to catch.
There are so many machines in this room. I could never count them. But I wonder what the heat's going to be in here. After
that's what I keep wondering. It's going to be really hot.
and we have some big monitors too. It's an unbelievable scene.
A couple of 30 inchers, but a lot of 24s.
Yeah.
And there's one team that looks like they're all on 17s. I don't know about that, but
yeah. Wow. And people rolled in, like whiteboards on wheels.
Yep.
I mean, you guys will see the photos. Up on Jamie's Thingles
Flickr account,
and I'm shooting some too. But anyway, well, Jamie, have a great time here today and tonight, and we'll catch up with you later.
All right, thanks, Graham. See ya.
And I'm with Luke Buckland, who is president of Sierra Bravo. How you doing, Luke?
Doing great, thanks.
Tell us a bit about how you came to do this event and why you volunteer so much of your time and resources of the company to do this fine event.
Sure. Well, I won't take credit for the idea, but I will tell you the primary, I would say, motivation for the event was originally we just wanted to make friends with more web developers in the local community.
Sure.
I mean, in our business, we're a growing web development shop. We need to make sure we have access to as much talent as we can, and this is a great way for us to kind of get our name in front of web developers. Well, the other side of that was we wanted to create an event that was of benefit to the community. So the idea of taking nonprofits that are in need of new websites, pairing them up with volunteer web developers, seemed to be a great way to accomplish both getting to know more web developers in the local community, but also just becoming more involved in the community itself.
Yeah. About how many of your people are here today, and how many have been involved in putting this all together?
Well, I don't know exactly. I think we have about 40 representatives here, I think is a pretty accurate guess.
Out of a total of about 80 now, right?
Yeah, just over 80 employees now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of those 80, I would say 65 of them are developers. So,
mm-hmm.
So we have from the web developer, designer, volunteers, about 40 of our staff. We've also had engagement from our sales and marketing team and administrative staff to help bring the event together and with the tactical components of that. And, Mark was definitely a lot more on the front lines of that whole effort,
sure.
Which is a huge, huge job.
Sure, and I'll talk with Mark in a minute. I was going to say I saw that my friend Tom O'Neill, your VP of software development, is even on one of the volunteer teams, right?
Yeah, he is. This is a second year in a row for Tom, and it's great listening to him talk about it. I mean, there's so much pride in these teams wanting to, do such a great job for the nonprofits. And I think it really does serve a need for web developers and designers to give them an opportunity to use their talents to serve the community. It's not something that you know, they get an opportunity to do. And by having them team up in a group, they can get so much more done than one can do, you know, one person can do individually. And by limiting it to a weekend, it's pretty easy to make the commitment. But at the end of the event, I mean, these guys are going to be leaving this event feeling like they've really made a difference in the community. They probably picked up some new skills and had some great experiences at the same time. And it's just something that they don't get an opportunity to do very often.
Yeah, it's a real exercise in team dynamics, that's for sure. I've been amazed at what I'm seeing here. But, well, thanks, Luke, and I'm going to talk to Mark here a bit now.
All right, thank you, Graham.
I've got Mark Malmberg with me, who is, well, give your title, Mark.
I'm communications manager here at Bravo.
Yeah, I didn't know whether to say PR or Marcom or what.
Either
but
way.
Mark is at the forefront of getting media coverage of this event, and I was amazed to see that last year, the first year for the event, I didn't catch it, but got a lot of coverage last year, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty tellable story. I mean, the community impact, you know, people definitely, you know, are relating to that and interested in it from a community standpoint.
You had TV crews here last year, right?
Yeah, we had all four stations, and we're hopeful to see them back if you're listening.
Oh, I bet they will be back too. I'm glad I got here early and got ahead of all the big heavy equipment coming in with my little handheld recorder here. But and I see that Neil St. Anthony gave you a nice plug in the Star Tribune in his column this morning too.
Yeah, he was nice enough to give us a shout out, as well as some of our sponsors that have been, you know, extremely generous to this. We've got Vizzy, who's also providing free web hosting for all of the nonprofits. We've got New Horizons of Minnesota that's giving free computer training to all the nonprofits, as well as some of the volunteers if they want half off some classes. You know, we've got Brugger's and Chipotle and Buffalo Wild Wings and Umbria Pizza, Red Bull, Peace Coffee. They all just kind of came out of the woodwork. Everybody's kind of here just doing kind of what they do best, you know, particularly the nonprofits, and we're just kind of here to help them work smarter.
Yeah, it is just an amazing group of sponsors and people that come out for this. I'm really impressed, and hats off to you guys, and I hope you're still standing by tomorrow morning. You can stay up all night?
I'm shooting for it. I actually brought a little crash pad in case I need it, but last year the media kind of came in at a staggered pace, so they'll probably keep me up all night. I hope they do, actually.
Yeah, well, luckily there's plenty of Red Bull available. So, hey, good talking to you, Mark.
Thanks, Graham.
And I'm with one of the lucky nonprofits that won the right to get a volunteer team of developers to build them a new website, and I'm with Amy LeClaire. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing well today, thanks.
And tell us about your nonprofit and what you do for Global Citizens Network.
All right, Graham, thanks for asking. We are a cross-cultural immersion organization. We supply 1 to 3 week trips to trip participants who want to go and live and eat and sleep and work as a community with one of our 17 sites all over the world. Again, the trips are 1 to 3 weeks. You're involved in a community project that is initiated and directed by the community itself. A good example is one of our sites in Tanzania, Bukoba, Tanzania, where we're working on water retention systems.
Very cool. Are these 17 sites that you've identified a long time ago and that you keep having people going back to then? Or?
Correct. Okay. We try to establish a relationship with the host community. We have one site in Guatemala. We've been with them for 13 years. Hmm. And we're actually starting up a new site this year in northern Minnesota at the White Earth Reservation.
Oh, very interesting. On these trips, how many tend to go at one time, and are they all from Minnesota? Or?
That's a great question. No, the teams all range from 6 trip participants to 12. 12 is about max. That's enough for the community usually, the host community. And we also supply a team leader with each trip.
Okay. And how are these? How often do these happen? Do they happen all year round, or they tend to happen only in the summer when people are off work or taking vacations, or how does that
right.
work?
Right. They happen all year round, and what it is, it's the times that we come to the communities are requested by the communities themselves. So if you ever look on our website, we've got a trip schedule set up, and if we spend a week in La Push, Washington, it's because that's the week that the Kulia Indians have requested that we come.
I see. What is your website URL?
www.globalcitizens.org.
Okay, great. And you're here with Linda Stewart and Carrie Lewis.
Correct.
And how long have you personally been involved, and how much time are you a full-timer?
I'm a part-time as a part-time position, and I've been working with the organization for 2 years.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see. So you have a sort of a staff of a few of you anyway that are at least part-time on it.
Correct.
And then are there a bunch of volunteers too that participate, or how many?
Yes, we have a very involved board of 8 board members, GCN board members, and then return trip participants are very cooperative and really helpful with anything that we might need. We do a lot of travel fairs and so forth, so they'll participate.
Travel what?
Travel fairs.
And what are they?
Like manning a booth out at a travel fair or at a university or something.
Sure, yep. Sure. And so most of these people are experienced world travelers and or have become so through being a part of your organization.
Exactly, yep.
And what kind of support do they, are they paying their own travel, or how does that all work?
Right. Well, they pay a program fee to GCN, and your travel expenses, your flights and so forth are paid on your own.
Okay.
You have to take care of that yourself, so we just meet in a major city near the site, and you meet as a team there. But yes, there is a program fee, and that covers your costs once you arrive in the main city.
And what kinds of costs does that cover, like accommodation?
Correct. Like food, housing, accommodations, and transportation to and from the site.
I see. So if people are interested in becoming a volunteer, or what do you call your travelers?
Trip participants.
They should go to your website and indicate an interest?
Absolutely.
And what is the age range or the demographics of these folks? Give me an idea of male versus female, professional versus student or whatever.
It's very diverse. We're very age diverse, and we recently have got a lot more families. So last year, over half of our trip participants were in some sort of family capacity, a mother, daughter. We had a grandfather, grandson. We've had whole families of 4 kids and 2 parents. I'd say the main demographic, our average age is around 40 years old, typically women. But we've had, some 75, I think the last trip we had an 82-year-old going on one of our trips.
Wow.
So, yeah, and as young as 7 years old. We've had a child who was in Bukoba last year of 7 years old.
Interesting. And you're paired up today, which you just learned this morning, with Kiberian Express is the name of the developer team?
Correct.
And so how are things going? You've obviously met with your team and planned what they're going to be doing, right?
Yeah, this is amazing. We feel really fortunate, very lucky. They seem to get us. They seem to understand our mission and what we're trying to get across, and I hope that I'm certain the website's going to reflect that.
So we can expect to see quite a before and after side-by-side comparison,
yes,
of the existing website with the new one you're going to get by tomorrow morning?
Monday morning. Look it up. I think it'll be there.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Amy. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
And I'm here with Greg Worm of Sierra Bravo. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing pretty good.
And you're a developer, and how long did you say you've been with the firm?
I've been about 2.5 years.
Very cool. And I'm also with Jeff. How do you pronounce it,
Klaviter.
Jeff? Klaviter. Oh.
Polish.
And you've been with Sierra Bravo how long?
I've been with them for 4 years.
Okay. And you're obviously a developer too?
Yep. .NET.
What kind of developer? What do you work in?
I do mostly .NET. A lot of mobile handheld applications for barcode scanning, warehouse management, done vending machines, websites.
Very cool. You doing any iPhone apps yet?
No.
Is Sierra Bravo doing any of that kind of work yet?
I know we've been putting out feelers for stuff like that, but
this is Greg now.
Yeah. But we haven't done anything yet.
Okay. And
actually, I think Connor worked on an Android one. I think Matt had worked on an iPhone.
Okay.
I know we had some sort of development going on with it.
And you are doing Android, you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was
Android
too.
That's cool. So Greg, you're kind of a .NET Silverlight guy.
Yes, I am.
Greg was on the winning team for the Minneapolis-St. Paul FizzPop event sponsored by Microsoft, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And when was that now? About 4 weeks ago?
That was about 4 weeks ago, yeah.
And how many teams competed?
There was 4 teams.
And Sierra Bravo paired with Zeus Jones, right?
Yes, we did. And I think there's actually 5 teams, correct?
5 teams, okay, yeah. And Jeff, you were on one too, right?
Yeah, I was with Move Worldwide.
Okay. And now, refresh my memory, did everybody have the same problem, right,
yep, that they had yep, to do? Same problem, yeah. Basically coming up with new ideas for retail advertising and get people into the stores.
And you had how much warning about what the problem was?
A little less than a week, about 5 days.
Oh, okay. So unlike this event where the teams are paired up the morning of with their nonprofit, you guys at least had a few days to prepare.
Yeah, yeah. We got the thing Friday night, and the event was on Wednesday.
Yep.
Okay.
It was Thursday.
It was Thursday, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, it was downtown at Solera, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Greg, your team teamed up with two fellows from Zeus Jones. One, a UI designer who's here today, and his name is?
Is Chad. Chad.
Yeah, I forget
his last name.
Actually, I've got it here. I believe it's Chad Hancock.
Hancock, yes.
Yeah. And there's another fellow that was on your team from Zeus Jones as well, but he's not here today.
He is not here.
Okay. So you guys, in winning the Minneapolis-St. Paul Fizz Pop competition, won a free trip to the national competition?
Yes.
And where is that?
That's in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah. You're heading south by southwest in a couple weeks, right?
Yes, correct.
You must be looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of work. Actually, Monday we get the next challenge. Monday at 4 o'clock. So.
Oh, you're going to find out what the problem is that you have to design or develop for. Okay, so you'll have this time a week or more to prepare? Or?
Yeah, we'll have almost 2 weeks to prepare.
Okay, great. And then when do you do you know the actual date when the Fizz Pop event takes place down there?
I believe we present it on the 17th.
The 17th of March. Okay. And then it's party time after that?
Yeah, we only get a couple days to party there.
That's enough.
They're only giving us 3 days, so.
Look out 6th Street. Here comes Minneapolis. But, and we know a bunch of other folks are going to be down there as well from the Twin Cities because we had a social media breakfast a week or two ago about South by Southwest. So, great talking to you guys, and have a good time in Austin.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Jeff.
No problem.
I have Tom O'Neill with me. Tom's VP of Software Development at Sierra Bravo, right, Tom?
Yep, that's me.
And you've been with the firm how long now?
I've been with the firm for about 4.5 years now, so I was, the third or fourth employee or something.
Yeah, and now you have tons of developers working for you, right?
Yeah, of the 88 people we have working for us, or 80-some, we have like 57 people in the development department.
Very cool. Well, I find it really neat that a manager is on one of the teams here today coding himself. You just couldn't stay away, huh?
You got it. My background is software development. I love this stuff. I love to be involved as much as I can, so I'm going to crank out some code today for sure.
Well, that's wonderful. And you're teamed up with a great nonprofit called Students Today, Leaders Forever.
Yeah, this is a great organization. I guess they were started right here at the U of M. A group of freshmen, four college freshmen, put the group together. They take kids around the country on road trips in big buses, and they pay it forward by doing volunteer work and stuff like that in the communities.
Very cool. I'm going to try to hook up with Brian Peterson, who's here today from that nonprofit. I love the name of your developer team, Pollywog Stew, huh?
Yeah, Pollywog Stew. It's an old Beastie Boys album. So,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm with you. And you have about what? 10? Well, yeah, it's 10 guys. Is that what you got?
Yeah, we got quite a team. It's a combination crew from Zeus Jones and Sierra Bravo, and we're ready to win. We really want to beat everybody else here. So
yeah, and I was just speaking with Greg Worm from Sierra Bravo. I know that you guys teamed up with Zeus Jones to win the local Fizz Pop Challenge.
That's right. They're headed to South by Southwest to see if we can take on the other regional champions for the national competition.
Yeah, that'll be very cool. So your process here, you guys are very busy over here, your team is right now, and I appreciate you pulling away for a couple minutes. You look like you're deep into a strategy discussion, huh?
Yep, that's right. We kind of broke it out into two groups. We've got one group doing some discovery on the programming side. There's some features that are key, and we're going to have to build them for sure. So we have about four of our developers broken out and figuring that stuff out. And then we have the other half of the team is working directly with a client to strategize on some of the more important features that need to be embellished a little bit before they're ready to build. So
now, it's interesting. Brian Peterson is the only one here from Students Today Leaders Forever. Most of these teams have maybe three or four people, but he's handling the whole thing himself, huh?
Well, actually, no. He's got two helpers.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yep, two guys. Jordan and one other guy.
Okay, yeah, their names didn't make my little program booklet here. So, okay, yeah, that would be more normal to have a team of a few folks here. So so you guys are getting close to sitting down and coding here, huh?
Yep, we got a schedule here, and let's see, at about 1 p.m., we're going to have a formal kickoff where we're going to assign all the tasks final and start programming at 1 o'clock. So.
Very cool. Well, Tom, best of luck to you today. I'm going to be heading out here soon, heading for demo in California, but I'll bet you'll be one tired dude by tomorrow morning about 9 or 10 when this thing wraps up, huh?
There's plenty of Red Bull here, so I'll be up, no problem. Have fun at demo.
Yeah, okay. You have a great time, too. Talk to you later.
That was good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got Brian Peterson of Students Today, Leaders Forever.
All right. Hey, thanks. Thanks for being here, Graham.
Yeah, well, I'm anxious to hear more about your organization, which is a student-focused organization, college, high school, and middle school. You look like you might be a little too old to be certainly a high school student, and you're maybe even too old to be. Are you a recent college grad, perhaps?
I graduated from the U of M about a year and a half ago now.
Very cool. And what?
My major was finance and nonprofit management.
Oh, so you're a Carlson grad.
Cool. Yeah.
You're one of those smart dudes.
Huh? I don't know if I'd say that. But
so what do you do for a living besides this nonprofit, or is this your full-time job?
This is my full-time job.
Oh, great.
I guess our story kind of begins about 5.5 years ago at the University of Minnesota. We were four freshmen up late at night. We all lived next to each other. We were about 10 days into our college freshman year, and we had an idea to make this program happen. We wanted to take students across the country on charter bus and volunteer in a new city each day and learn about communities, build some great friendships, and make a difference over spring break.
Well, that's very cool. So kind of an entrepreneurial idea hatched as freshmen?
Yeah, as freshmen. Right away, we wanted to make a difference on our campus, and we wanted to do it as freshmen. And you know how one thing leads to another. Everything begins with an idea. And we recruited our friends to make this happen. And what started off with a great spring break trip and great friendships has led to a lot more. And in the last 5.5 years now that we've been around, we've had 4,000 students go out on programs like this and volunteer in cities all across the country. We've expanded to college, high school, middle school students. They all focus programs. And we've expanded to different college campuses and different communities. And it's really reaching across the country, and it's all possible because young people are making a difference and they're standing up to lead.
Well, that's very cool. So you kind of have chapters around the country then?
We have 16 college campus chapters, then we work with a few dozen different high schools and middle schools to do different programs for them. And the whole thing, every program that we do is run by college student volunteers. They have a chance to lead, to organize, to facilitate groups of young people in making a difference and creating positive experiences for people.
So are your original partners, you say there were two others?
There's four of us total.
Four. Okay.
And all four of us are actually working full-time for the organization. So.
Oh, well, that's tremendous. So this is a true entrepreneurial story. Were any of your partners entrepreneurial studies majors?
Or, yeah, one of them was. We were all four of us were actually business students. I was finance, another was accounting, another was marketing, another was entree. So we were kind of all across the board, actually, which worked out well.
And did you actually launch this organization officially? Is it a 501c3?
We incorporated when we were sophomores in college. Created a national office and kept expanding the chapters. And we did most of it, most of the groundwork when we were students. And we graduated, and we had built the organization up to a place where we created a job for ourselves.
Oh, this sounds fantastic. So you guys were quite busy with this while you were still in school, and then by the time you graduated, it kind of segued right into full time. Huh?
Definitely, yeah. We all had our plates full in college, we had a blast doing it, and there's really no better way to learn about life and yourself and how to get things accomplished than to just go out and do it.
That's an amazing story. So tell me quickly about some of these trips that you do. Give me an idea of typical kinds of outings.
A college trip, we'll go out over spring break. It'll be 9 days long. A high school trip would be 5 days long, and they happen throughout the year. And a middle school trip, there's one going on right now, is 3 days long. They happen over pretty much any weekend. Each trip goes to a new city each day, and it's a group of students volunteer with a different nonprofit each day. They learn about a different social issue going on in that community, and you know, they really learn about how that issue impacts that community, other communities across the country, and then most importantly, their own community. Because that's what it's all about. It's about creating a difference for people in people's lives so that they continue that impact when they get home. Our mission is to reveal leadership through service, relationships, and action. It's really about creating an impact on people's lives, and that's where the lasting impact is, because that's lifelong.
Great. Do you actually own buses that you go out on, or how do you do these trips?
We charter out buses. We're a pretty lean operation. We don't own much, but we find a way to make it happen.
And you rely on contributions, and do you have a board of directors?
Mm-hmm. Have a board of directors of 10 people, community members and supporters from the Twin Cities mostly, which is where we're based. And we do rely on contributions. We have a great donor base of community supporters, foundations.
From how far and wide?
A lot of our donors are parents of students that have gone on trips, and those people from all across the Midwest and beginning to spread to different places of the country slowly. And then we have some foundations here in the Twin Cities that have been extremely helpful and supportive in giving us the capacity building funding to really take off as a young organization.
Who are some of your board of directors folks? Any names you can give us here?
Some people will know a lot of these people, but they've been just great supporters of us in the past. One of them is the executive director of Twin Cities Rise. His name is Art Berman. He's relatively new to the board. Melissa Stone is one of the newest members. She's the director of the Public and Nonprofit Leadership Center at the Humphrey Institute.
Oh. Okay.
And she was an old professor of ours, and she taught us about, I think when we created our board of directors, she was teaching us about governance, so we put it to use. Ozzie Nelson is a businessman in the Twin Cities, owns Nelson Companies. Pat Foley owns Smartbox of Minnesota. There's Morgan Kinross Wright. She works at the Undergraduate Business Career Center at the University of Minnesota. Amelius White works at the University of Minnesota. As a group of people, and there's more that I'm leaving out. I probably shouldn't have started the list, but they're a group of people that have been just very supportive, and they've really provided us the guidance and support moving ahead.
Now, you have a website up now, and of course you're getting a new one from this fine event, but tell us how we get to your existing website for those who might want to look at it before, so they can compare it to the after later.
Yeah, check out the before and after. We got a great team working on the new one. The website is, the address is stlf.net, so that's Students Today Leaders Forever, the acronym, .net.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah, and this team you've got here looks and sounds like a heck of a group. It's a combination of Sierra Bravo developers and Zeus Jones, designer/developers, right?
Yeah, it sounds like those are the two main companies they come from. We're having a blast already. I can't thank them enough. And not only them, but everybody that's here, all the people that came from across the web development community in the Twin Cities here to make this happen. I know we appreciate it more than we can express, and I'm sure every other nonprofit here has the exact same thing to say.
Yeah.
And it's really making a big difference.
A
website, you can't say enough about how important that is for an organization. So.
Yeah, I saw how intense you guys were involved in your meeting around the whiteboard here a little while ago, and I hear the folks from Zeus Jones are great strategy guys, and it'll be fun to see what you come up with and to compare that before and after. I understand somebody's going to put up photos of those they're going to be put up on the maybe on the screen here. Slides are going to be shown at the end of the before and after, and I think someone's trying to capture photos of those and put them up on the Sierra Bravo Flickr group, or the overnight website challenge.
Okay.
Flickr group. Have you heard about that?
I haven't, but yeah. It'll definitely be fun to see some before and after. I know some befores don't even have a website. Some organizations.
Right, yeah,
so
there's
really
probably a few here that that are brand new, but the before and after shots of the existing nonprofit sites will be posted later, I hear. But anyway, I don't want to keep you away from your group any longer, Brian.
Thank you, Graham.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for being out here. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.